Blog Talk Radio.
God, for all of you that join us every day and those that join us after the show. So those that join us live and those that join us later, I thank God for each and every one of you. We have a great word this morning, and I am, as always, excited to get into the word of God. And today is coming out of, again, we're still in 2 Samuel, and we probably will be in 2 Samuel for a while. And we're in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and 10. We are also in Psalm 65, 1 through 8, Proverbs 16, verses 20 and 21, and in John chapter 6. And oh my, it is a good word. So let's get started this morning because I don't want to miss anything. I get excited like that. As I say, I get giddy for Jesus. And I love to say I do. I get giddy for Jesus because God is good like that. And the word that God gave me was this: heed the word wisely, we'll find good. When we heed the word of God with wisdom, good things come our way. And yes, I'm not going to say everything will be perfect. It's going to all be hunky-dory and no big deal, because it's not. Because life just doesn't work that way. And God does things that he does to make us stronger. He makes us stronger. He makes us wiser. He makes us better. And so we thank God for making us wiser, stronger, and better. So if you're going through, it's to make you wiser, stronger, and better. But understand, when you heed the word of God, good will find you, because God has got you covered. So let us pray this morning. Father God in heaven, we are so thankful, grateful, and blessed to be your children. We are thankful, Lord God, that you woke us up this morning. Lord God, we are grateful that you gave us your son, who is our Savior, Christ Jesus. Lord God, we are blessed to be grafted into your family through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord God, we thank you for salvation and for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for this magnificent word, this basic instruction before leaving earth. Lord God, we ask that this word add a blessing to the hearer, to the reader of this word. And Lord God, we ask that you continue to put your hedge of protection around us, oh God. Keep guiding us into light. Take us away from any darkness, Lord God. Keep us covered by the blood of Jesus. Things are working for our good because we, oh God, are trusting and believing in you. For you are great and greatly to be praised. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for all things that are good and perfect come from you. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. And Father, as always, please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my Father God. You are my strength. And you are my Redeemer. And I thank you, Lord, for all things come from you. And I thank you for waking me up again this morning, clothed in my right mind, pepping my step, and the joy of you in my heart. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Christ Jesus, my Savior. And it's in his name I lift up, look up, and give thanks. Amen. In Jesus' name. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength, whom I love and who I know loves me. Y'all have me getting happy up in here this morning when I think about the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me. My soul screams hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for salvation. So let's get started in our word. We're going to talk about morning. His name is Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth is kind of a sad little story because he is one of the last living relatives of Saul's household. And David, as he promised, is going to help him. You know, we all have a load of ours in our life, but Mephibosheth was going through. And, you know, as we remember back, can't remember what chapter it was, where he was crippled because his nurse, trying to get him out for safety's sake, fell on him and crippled him. So that kind of lets you know he, as they say in the Bible, he's lame. So let's read the word and we'll talk about it. Because, you know, David, he had God's heart. And even though he did some stuff that wasn't right, you know, nobody's perfect. We all understand that. But the thing is that David cared about people, cared about Mephibosheth. So let's read the word and see what it says. It says, now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, at your service. And the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Michal, the son of Amal and Lodabar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Michal and the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belongs to Saul and to all his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work in the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. It happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his place. And David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent by the hand of his servant to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servant came into the land of the people of Ammon. And the prince of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, their king, do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it? Therefore, Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle of their buttocks, them away. Now, I'm sorry. That is some cruel stuff. You're going to shave off half a beard and show all they bottom. Just show their little butts just running half naked. And it says that when they told David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return. When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers from the king of Magi, 1,000 men, and from Ishtob, 12,000 men. Now when David heard of it, he said, Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array at the entrance of the gate, and the Syrians of Zobah, Beth Rehob, Ishtob, Mecca were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, and he might set them in battle array against the people of Ammon. Then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. But be of good courage and let us be strong for our people, for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near for the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. When the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Abishai and entered the city. So Joab returned from the people of Ammon and went to Jerusalem. When the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered together. Then Hadadar sent and brought out the Syrians who were beyond the river, and they came to Helam. And Shobak, the commander of Hadadar's army, went before them. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in battle array against David and fought with him. Then the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed 700 chariots, 40,000 horsemen of the Syrians, and struck Shobak, the commander of their army, who died there. And when all the kings who were servants of Hadadar saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians were afraid to help the people of Ammon anymore. Don't mess with God's anointed, y'all. And the thing is, David was showing kindness. But because he said, she said, you know, this young king allowed the naysayers and the folks that didn't have a clue who David was, his heart or his spirit, to convince him, oh, they're coming to try to spy out the land. And then you go do some stuff like this. I'm going to shave off half their beard, because understand, a beard was a big deal to the Israelites. But to not only shave off half their beard, but also to uncover their bottoms and have them run with all their butt showing. You know, that's some low-down dirty stuff. Come on now. You know, and all they could do was go and tell David what happened. David was like, uh-uh, you're not going to disrespect me or my people like that. And so what happened? You go call up somebody to help you. And they scared of David because they know that David's army has God with them wherever they go. They wasn't playing. And Joab prayed first. And he said that may the Lord do what is good in his sight. And he told his people, be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. He didn't say for the cities of our king. He said for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Gave it to God and let it go, and they won. We got to learn how to give it to God and let it go so that we win. And it goes on to Samuel, Life Lessons 9 and 7. Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. David remembered the promise he had made to Jonathan. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14 through 17, and worked hard to honor it. David remembered with gratitude his friend's help and responded with generosity. He cared for Mephibosheth and would have took him in a lot longer if he had known about it. That's a life lesson. David loved people. And it goes on to tell us, in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 12, may the Lord do what is good in his sight. When we face a major challenge, we can do no better than to find courage in God and ask the Lord to do what is good in his sight. The Lord loves to honor those who honor him. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, and we're going to go there real quick. First Samuel 2, verse 30, and it says this. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. He said, I'm not going to hurt you, but you're not going to be, you're going to be lightly esteemed. And he told you, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. So when we honor God, he honors us. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You know, I like that, lightly esteemed. In other words, I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to hurt you. But you're not going to be honored like those that honor me. But I love this part, a life lesson. And let me give just a disclaimer real quick. The life lessons, life examples, life principles, life questions are from Dr. Charles Stanley. Bible we are reading this year is the Charles S. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, and we are coming out of the New King James Version. So when you hear me say life lessons or life example questions, they are from Dr. Stanley. And I, again, have to disclaim, I am not being paid or sponsored by In Touch Ministries. But I will tell anybody, this Bible is something great to have in your biblical arsenal. It is worth every dime you spend. It's worth having because it is such a great Bible. And it's, even if you're not listening to this blog where you hear this word read daily, Sunday through Friday, but I just say it's great to have, just so that when you just need a word for the day, this is a great Bible to have. It is wonderful to have, and it's got so much in it that it just does something to your spirit. And so we're going to get back into a life example, and Dr. Stanley says, loving the unlovable. It was unheard of, a king honoring the descendants of his rival. Yet that is just what King David did. After the death of Jonathan and King Saul, David wanted to honor his best friend Jonathan by seeking out his children and showing them kindness. As it turned out, the only one living was Mephibosheth, a miserable, crippled man. Mephibosheth had every reason to believe that David wanted to kill him. As the grandson of Saul, who had persecuted David, it was David's right to dispose of him. Yet when Mephibosheth finally met the kind king's face to face, he found just the opposite to be true. David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." From the man who cuts you off in traffic to the former friend who has offended you, you often get hurt by the thoughtless or deliberate actions of others. How do you typically react? Are you a forgiving and kind as King David? Jesus tells us that our behavior must radically differ from that of the world. So I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. And we're going to go over there. Even though we've already read it here, we're going to go to Matthew 5. The whole section says, love your enemies. And it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, and this is Jesus speaking. And he says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven. I'm going to say it. That's some hard stuff to do. It's hard. It's hard to love somebody who persecutes you. It's hard to love somebody that done talked about you like a junkyard dog and mistreated you as such. It is hard to forgive those that tried to make you look bad, tried to vilify you, tried to talk about you like, ooh, just drug your name through the mud and muck and sewage and everything else done took you there. It's hard. I will never tell anybody it is not hard, but we are going to stand on the word of God that we got to forgive, because understand, unforgiveness does not hurt them. It hurts you. You down the wrong road. They going about their business and you feeling awful bad. And they going on. They ain't even worried about what you did, what they did, how they treated you. They doing the la-di-da-di-da's. You know, they down the street of boo-boo and them, and they not thinking about you. And you sitting here roasting and feeling angry. And that, I'm speaking this because of my own self. I had that moment, you know, where someone did some pretty horrific things to me. And I was angry about it. But salvation, but God, that I was able to let it go, forgive, and put it in the hands of the Lord. For God knew that I had been nothing but kind to those people. And that's the thing. They took kindness for weakness and not to kindness for the love of God. And, you know, again, put them in God's hands. Because God knew your heart. God knows your heart. God knew my heart. I'm fine. And was fine to be fine. Because I know who my daddy is. And every time these people have seen me, they couldn't look me in the eye. But I could look them in the eye. And I could speak and go on about my business. Because I knew I never did anything to hurt them as they did to me. But I know one thing. I did everything with my head held high. And lived life to the full. And they couldn't understand it. Because they didn't know who my daddy was. Hallelujah. So what should you do when someone hurts you? Follow a few basic steps to help move you forward toward a Christ-centered response. And this is Dr. Stanley. And I, again, will tell you, it's not easy. It's not. But we have to do it. And it says, forgive the offender. Hurt when not addressed properly turns into bitterness and an unforgiving spirit. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, you have the spiritual resources to truly forgive others. And we're going to go to those spiritual resources. The first is coming out of Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to go over there. 16, verse 21. And this is the parable of the unforgiving servant. Says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, 490 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. Wow. Gotta forgive. And we're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And it's we're going to start at verse 25. And the section is, do not grieve the Spirit. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Wow. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. When you release someone from the debt he or she owes you, you are free to see that person as Christ does, and anger and bitterness no longer have the power to rule your decisions. Number two, seek to understand before you seek to be understood. Practice the skill of listening and try to imagine the perspective of the offender. What might have motivated his actions? What is going on in her life? Many times a person who hurts you is also a victim of hurt. Understanding the offender's private pain, conciliation, or preventing further conflicts. Number three, speak with non-combative yet truthful words. Speaking truth in love does not mean that your words will lack a sharp point. Sometimes truth can feel very unsettling. The individual who wounded you may need to grapple with some tough issues. Only the Lord can work with a person's heart, but he asks you to continue to extend patience and love. And who knows, maybe someday your worst enemy could become your best friend in Christ. Whatever the result, you can be sure of God's blessing as you seek his way of dealing with those who hurt you. And again, this is what it says. So what should you do when someone hurts you? Follow a few basic steps to help move you toward the Christ-centered response. Again, the first one, forgive the offender. Number two, seek to understand before you seek to be understood. And three, speak with non-combative yet truthful words. And I just say thank you, Dr. Stanley, but I will say again, these things are not easy. And as we continue in Psalm 65, verses 1 through 8, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you our flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, O of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us. O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They also who dwell in the forest parts, farthest parts, are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoing of the morning and evening rejoice. And some life lessons from Psalms chapter 65. Verse 5, by awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. Some answers to prayers can be described with no better word than awesome. How has God awesomely answered some of your prayers? What awesome answers to prayer do you need right now? Psalm 65, verse 7, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. During his early ministry, Jesus both stilled the raging sea and still the angry mob. Mark chapter 4, verse 39, Luke chapter 4, verse 29 through 30. And so, without saying a word, he demonstrated his divine status as Lord of all. And y'all know how I love to go back to the other word. We're going to go real, real quick to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to go back up to verse 35 in Mark. And it says this. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We got to have faith, fear, y'all. Faith over fear, because God is working everything out for our good. We may not know it. We may not see it. We may not be able to touch it. But I can tell you that God is working it out for your good. All you have to do is have faith. And we're going to go to verse 29. And it says this. And let me go up to actually the verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And let's see what the things that they heard. He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself wherever we have heard done, or here in your country.'" Because remember, he went home to Nazareth. And we're going to go back up just a little bit. To verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You will surely say to this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself wherever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. He just became vapors, like, "Y'all don't even know who I am." He didn't even play with that foolishness. So let's keep going here to our proverb word, which is our title for this morning. And it says this, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent. Sweetness of the lips increases learning. And our word today was simply this. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. Come on now. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. We got to trust God. And it says, no one will ever find true happiness by disobeying a clear command of God. For happiness is found in trusting God. And those who disobey show that they do not trust him to make them happy. I'm going to trust God to make me happy. You know, I have been there. I've gone down that road of depression. I have been in the darkness. And I tell anyone, the only way you're going to get out of it is to trust God, is to give it to God. We all got things that we got to work on, but always give it to God, and he will help you. All you got to do is believe. Believe, 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 and trust in the Lord. Let's get into our last word this morning. We are coming out of John chapter 6. Verses 1 through 21, and it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, and every one of them may have a little. Peter's brother said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in numbers and number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to 5 loaves of bread. Fish fed 5,000. Actually, fed more than 5,000 because they didn't count women and children. And it goes on to say, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, when in the evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went out over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Miracles, signs, and wonders. That's what our Father, that's what our Savior, that's what the Holy Spirit can do. Hallelujah. Jesus tested them. Said, wow, how much is it going to cost us to feed all these people? And they was thinking in their physical mind, not their spiritual mind. And when they found, they said, just bring the 5 loaves of the 2 fish. Set them down. And we understand that in John, it doesn't give the specifics like in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where it says that he'd set them by tens and fifties and hundreds, you know, and that he fed the 5,000 men and more. So we understand that he's fed more than 5,000 people he fed more than 5,000 people with those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Again, if we stop and think, 5 is grace. He gave grace by feeding all these people with those 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, Father and Son. God the Father helped his Son to do this miraculous thing. And as we look at John chapter 6, verse 6, this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Before Jesus ever set before us an impossible task, he knows what he is going to do. But he watches us and tests us to see how we will react, whether in fear, confusion, or faith. God will put us in situations to test us. God put in situations that would have broke some thing had happened to me. It's like you go 5 steps up and there's somebody just like crabs in a bag, in a bucket. The one crab is trying to crawl to get out, there's 50 more trying to pull you back. And I felt that way that time. I felt like God had blessed me. And then there was somebody to pull me down and try to ruin my reputation. But you know what? But God, I will trust in the Lord, and I will not allow the enemy to get into my square, because he is not welcome in my life. And you got to understand that we each have a square, each have an assignment. Whatever your assignment may be, do your assignment. Trust God that all things will work out for your good. Because you are trusting in the Lord. It is not easy to deal with the things we deal with. Some hateful people are out there doing some awful, awful things, and many are getting away with it. But when you trust God, you better know one thing. They all got to stand before the Lord. They all got to stand before the Lord. And when they are asked, why did you hurt your sister or your brother that did nothing but act kindly to you? Sorry. Did you ever repent? But I go to church, Lord. I sing in the choir. I volunteer in the kitchen. I do all these things. But did you ever tell the person that you tried to destroy that you were sorry and ask for their forgiveness? No, because, you know, I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. But you knew you were doing something wrong. You knew you were deliberately trying to hurt them. You weren't comfortable then. You're surely not going to be comfortable now. Oh, there's your destination. And your destination is not the one with the pearly gates. You're behind it, going to the pit. We better understand. We don't have to worry about what he said, she said, they said, woo-woo said, because God is going to have the final say-so. God will have the final and let it go. Give them to God and let them go. Because I'm going to tell you now, there's a whole lot of folks roasting, waiting for the final pit. They in some heat right now, but it's not the heat that they will be in when that final destination comes, when they have to stand before God and give accounting of what they did in their life and how they treated their fellow man, how they treated their sisters and their brothers in Christ. Because we all know some of the most hateful people are in the church. And I'm just saying the truth. We're going to shame that devil today. Some of the most hateful, some of the most loving people are in the church. We have got to show love. We've got to show compassion. We've got to show who our Father is. Treat your neighbor as you want to be treated. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But above all things, love God. Because I can tell you this, he loves you more than anything. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. We got to heed the word of God today. We got to heed the word of God and trust in it, believe in it, and know that our Daddy God is with us wherever we go. That is all I got this morning, but we have a word, as always, from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for this morning is this: God is not limited. Anything, and that's a big old, huge, all capped, anything is possible with him. Have a wonderful Wednesday. So I say to those out there this morning who are going through, God is not limited. Anything is possible with him. Just as we have read in our word this morning, Mephibosheth in his Lodabar just knew he was, I'm crippled. I can't work. I don't have anything. I'm at the mercy of somebody else. Didn't know that he would be elevated to the king's table, that he would have land and servants. Understand, we may be going, we may be in our Lodabar, but know that God has got a King David waiting for you to lift you out of your poor place, out of your place that the enemy thought he could throw you in. God loves us. He cares about us, and he wants the best for us. Keep the Lord first. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. Don't live in your Lodabar forever. As Sister Carolyn has said this morning, that our God is not limited. Anything is possible with him. Say to yourself, I know, God, that anything is possible with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We got to keep that Proverbs chapter 3 word in our heart at all times. Lord, I will trust in you. Even though I go through, I will trust in you. We've got to keep God as a forefront, telling God every day, Lord, even though I'm going through, I will trust in you. I trust you, God. I had to put my trust in God. I put my trust in God today. Even though I go through, what I go through is between me and God. Because he already knows what I need. And I believe in my heart that he hears me. And I say to you today, he hears you. He loves you. And he wants the best for you. Keep God first in all you do, family. Trust in his word. And watch God work in your life. That is all I have this morning. If there's anybody that would like to speak, push the number 1 on your phone or dial 213-943-3597 and push the number 1 on your phone. And your line will be open. Thanking God for each of you. Thanking God for Sister Carolyn's daily word for us. And just thanking God because he endures forever and all times. And I just say to you, forgive those that hurt you. Let it go. Shake it off. Give it to God and go on about your business. and live your life to the full. Because I'm going to tell you what, that's going to make the enemy madder than anything. It's the fact that you are shaking it off, giving it to God, and going on about your business. Because he wants us to walk in hatred. He wants us to walk in fear. He wants us to be in darkness. But we tell the devil today, not today. I'm going on about my business. You can do your dirt. But I'm going to be fine because I'm a child of the Most High God. And my daddy is light, and his light trumps your darkness every time. Hallelujah. Give God love. Give God praise. Give God all of you. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Trusting in the Lord and knowing that he is your strength. I have one caller. Just a moment, please, everybody. Caller,
good morning.
3546. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you
good
this
morning? I'm just truly blessed and highly favored by God. Sitting here knowing that God has no limitations because God is God and he can heal, he can deliver, he can set free. 2 years ago, I could not see, hallelujah, the screen of my phone. I was used to sending out encouragement words, the word of God as being led by the Holy Spirit. And as I speak on today, after, hallelujah, sending out encouraging word, the biblical instruction before leaving earth, I give God all the glory because he gave me my sight back that I could
praise
see to encourage, hallelujah, people with the word of God.
Mm.
God is good.
Amen.
No limitations.
Thank you.
When it comes to God.
No limitations. Hallelujah. Woo, glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
Evangelist, we appreciate you. And we appreciate your testimony. I once was blind, but now I see. Come on now. Don't tell me what God can't do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God a praise today, family. This awesome woman of God, she just
glory
gave us testimony.
To God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Yes. Ah. Woo. Thank you all for listening in. Thank you, Prof. Evangelist, for speaking and giving a word because somebody needed that word this morning. I once was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. And I can tell you this, this mighty evangelist, this woman of God, gave out over 100 and I can't even tell you how many in just a day of daily bread to give a word of encouragement to someone. She's still doing her calling, and we should all do what we are called to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and know that God is with you. Wherever you go, you are never alone. Have a blessed day, family. Thank you, Evangelist. I appreciate your testimony. Come join us again tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. God willing, we will be here. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. And I thank God for his word. Evangelist, what is it? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Hallelujah.
Have a
glory
blessed day, family.